back. We are national. It's the National Hour, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, as promised. We are going live to Florida.
I'm already.
Where he's fresh off his over 65 aquatics class. Let's welcome in Doug McClain.
He can't be controlled. We don't need to control him. We need to unleash him.
What? Mac, what just happened?
Listen, we've missed you.
Oh, no, we can't hear him. Hold on, Mac. Hold on, Mac. We're good. You're on mute.
Is that better?
Hey,
is that better?
There he is.
So I discovered something in Europe that I thought would help me with this show. It's called Pocket Coffee. And what it is, it's chocolates. It's chocolates. And when you put it in your mouth, the inside of it squirts out espresso to you. So it livens me up. So I thought I would try to see if we could get some life into this show. Because I know I've been a bit of a deadbeat. Recently, so I'm just trying to spruce it up, and I'm working on my studio here because I'm getting so many damn requests to do shows.
Yes,
that I'm trying to upgrade my studio as well. You know,
so in between a trip to Europe and the travel from PEI to Florida, you've been able to watch any hockey at all? Are you caught up? Are you into it, or are we gonna have to carry you for the next 20 minutes?
I'm so caught up, it's scary. Like I watched quite a few games this week. I actually watched the Leafs last night, and as much as it bothered me, I didn't go out to dinner. I said, no, I'm going to stay home and watch the game so I can really be on top of it. And the one thing I discovered about your Leafs is they took the 100-pound C off Tavares's chest, and they put the 100-pound C on Matthews' chest. So now Tavares can skate, and Matthews looks slow because he's got the 100-pound C on him.
See,
so I'm concerned about that.
Is this just a typical coach that wants production all the time? It looks like they're winning now. Who cares who gets the credit now?
You know what? I kind of liked their lineup last night. I got to tell you, the Tavares line was a real good line, and I know they had a previous strong game against Winnipeg, but I really liked the way they played last night. I liked the way Nyes played last night. He's so big and strong, and they're talking about him a linebacker. I just would like him to be a touch meaner, and I know it's really hard to make guys mean when they're not really mean. But, you know, I liked his game last night. I was a little hard on him last night. Or not last night, but last year. So, I liked the look of their team last night. I thought they played pretty solid. Seattle is a disaster. Like, I'm sorry. I can hardly watch them play. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I was with an expansion team, and I know how tough it is. But I watched Vegas play the other night, and I'm telling you, they're tough to play against. They are hard to play against. They're playing playoff hockey right now. And it was a poor test for me with respect to the Leafs, but I did like the way he's got his line structured, the first and second line anyway.
Doug, last Leafs one, we'll kind of move it around Canada, but, you know, I heard Kip say there that, like, you know, who cares who gets the credit? But he's being sarcastic because he thinks they actually care. And he
Stars care.
Big deal.
Stars care.
Of course they do care. But my question is, like, you know, you dealt with stars in the NHL, and my impression as a hockey player my whole life was that it was about the team. And how do you manage that? I understand you have to keep these guys happy, but at what point is it fair to say to them, the egos don't matter, we're trying to win as a team?
That's true. But I was in the league for 24 years, and I must have missed that comment because I didn't see it anywhere. I mean, I was in Detroit with a star-studded team in Yzerman and Fedorov and Lidstrom and on and on and on. And for a guy like Stevie Y, when he wasn't the guy, mm-hmm. he wasn't a happy camper. He was not a happy camper. He wanted to be the guy, no matter how good Fedorov was, no matter if Fedorov got a Hart trophy or whatever he got, he wanted to be the guy. And, you know, so I don't buy it. I think, you know, the Stars want to be stars and expect to be treated as stars. Berube's got his hands full here with this group because there's a you know what they are? They're the Forrest Gump of hockey. They're like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get from game to game. So they're the Forrest Gump box of chocolates for me, and we'll see if that changes as the season goes on.
So we heard from Willie Zibanejad. When you have that star player that comes out and mentions something in the media about ice time, and Willie was clear and very clear, like it's nothing new. It's not like it was a surprise. He's had those conversations in the past with Berube, so everything's on the up and up. But that's a hard thing for a coach to still manage, is to draw that fine line of when do you want to show the player respect, but you don't want to show him too much respect. Is that fair to say?
Now, first of all, what's on the up and up? That he goes to the media and whines about his ice time?
Well, no, that he went to the coach first. He went to the coach first.
So it should end there. He's made his point with the coach. Why go to the media after? Why not just make your point to Berube?
So if he's asked, if Berube, by the media, he should dodge it?
Yeah, he should dodge it. 100%. I don't think. Like he's played well in the playoffs. He's a bit of an enigma to me. He's good. He's bad. He's great. He's average. You know, last night he happened to score two goals and he was good. I don't get the going to the media about ice time. You go in and you talk to Berube. If Berube keeps it the same way, you go back in and talk to Berube again. You know, that you don't go to the media because it just starts something that the team doesn't need around them. And that's, there's enough talk around the team as it is. There's enough noise around this team as it is. So I didn't like that. I heard it last night. I heard the other day that he was complaining about it. And look, the kid played well last night.
Are we good on the Leafs?
Yeah, we're good.
Doug, the Pittsburgh Penguins are run by one of your favorite people in hockey, and I know you think Dubas has done a great job there, but they're not winning as much as you said they would this year. What are your thoughts on what are they going to do with Sid? What are they going to do this year? They look like they might stink outright.
Huge overtime win last night against the Ducks.
Yes, thanks. Sid did that.
I thought of Kyle today, actually, when I saw Kucherov round the net on a great rush and then drop past the puck to Gensel for the open net. And I'm thinking, I wonder if Kyle wishes he didn't take Carlson so he would have had the money to sign Gensel.
Oh.
I wonder if he's thought of that.
No.
I guarantee you Sid has thought of it, and I guarantee you Malkin's thought of it, and I guarantee you anybody else in the team has thought it. They are bad looking. They are a bad looking team right now. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's going to get better. I don't know. But look, I watch Florida a couple of times and I'm telling you guys, today, the only team in the East that has a chance to beat Florida in the playoffs is the Carolina Hurricane. The only team that I've watched so far that have any chance to play playoff style hockey the way the Panthers play it every night. And I look at an Aho. Talk about Nylander. I look at Aho. 57 game winners this kid has had in his career. 57 game winners in his career. You never hear his name. All he does is play. I mean, you look, even Gostisbehere has become a star. Brind'Amour's got, there's something going on with him. Now, can they get a goalie and give themselves a chance? But I think right now the only team that can play with Florida is Carolina. Will that change? We'll see.
Carolina was really close to getting Gibson in the offseason. Out of Anaheim,
and they should try to get a goalie.
I think they'll revisit that one.
Yeah, and look, Neshkash, is that how you pronounce his
Natchez.
Name? Natchez. I mean, how good is this kid? I mean, now I understand why everybody wanted him in the offseason. You know, but everybody that comes into that mix, there's something Brendan Moore's doing right there. I know he hasn't had success getting to the finals. I get that. But look, he's done a hell of a job there. And there's a buy-in culture there. There's a good vibe around that team. They know they have to have success in the playoffs, like the Leafs. But right now, they're the only team, to me. I watched the Rangers the other night. They were embarrassing. If they think they're going to win a Stanley Cup with that group, with other than Shesterkin, they got they've got issues with that group, as far as I'm concerned. I know I'm a little biased because of Gerard Gallant, but that group, I watched them play Washington the other night. It was like a AAA midget team playing a peewee team. It was embarrassing how that game turned out and how they played.
All right, let's push it out west here, and we'll certainly get into.
Out west is too late for me.
Not your opinion. I know that. Maybe to watch a game, but your opinion works around the clock in each region. Mac, before we get into Draisaitl and the magic that he had last night against Nashville, just the thought of Vancouver Canucks and the continuation of a struggling Pettersson. This guy, I know on a number of occasions in our show, you had talked to him as if he could be a Datsyuk type of player for the Vancouver Canucks, like we saw over the years in Detroit. Like,
and he is. He's like Datsyuk is in the KHL right now. He's very comparable.
What has happened?
Seriously, I don't know what's gone wrong with this kid. I mean, we can talk confidence. We can talk all these things. I mean, contract. I mean, $11.3 million, and right now that's going to hurt this team to try to build a team with that kind of dollars tied up in that kind of production. It's scary right now to watch how he's playing. Here's the only problem with the Vancouver Canucks, in my opinion, is that Quinn Hughes can't play 60 minutes a game. The fact that he can't play 60 minutes is really hurting them, because he's a guy that is he's the horse on that team. He's their, I know he's their captain, but he is their man. And I can't believe that Pettersson wouldn't take a look at Hughes, how he plays the game and how he competes and how he wants to get better and how he wants to win. And you play lackluster the way Pettersson is right now. It's shocking to me. It really is.
Yeah, that's an anomaly. Good on Vancouver. If I want to ask about the Oilers, slow start again, now without Connor McDavid. Do you think this is like last season, Doug, where they just kind of get off to a rocky start and they're going to get it figured out at some point here? Or are you more concerned about this team? Oh, just let me say before I move on, did you see Vasily Podkolzin punch a guy's head off yesterday?
Yeah.
Didn't know he could do that. Anyway, go ahead, Doug.
So, their defense isn't good enough, okay? So Broberg has gone to St. Louis and is playing very well. I don't know if he's a first-round pick. Was he a first-round pick? Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Kesselring is playing with Sergachev as their first pair in Arizona and playing great. Mm-hmm. Lavoie, former first-round pick. All three of them have gone. And they've replaced them with Skecher and whoever else.
Travis Dermott.
They're not good enough on the back end.
Emberson.
Simply not good enough. Skinner is lost. You know, I mean, he was so good last year in the finals and throughout the playoffs at times. I look back at that St. Louis offer sheet, and to lose the kids they lost, Hollowig and the defenseman, it's hurt. It's really hurt their team. And again, it comes back to the same thing. How do you fill out a roster, and how do you build around it when right now you've got so much money tied up at the top of your lineup? It's the magic formula for NHL GMs and the guys that master it. And I don't know who can master it. It's so tough. But they're not good enough in the back end, in my opinion. Simple as that.
Well, that very well could be the case and could be problematic for them. Do you think that they need to make a trade here? Like, I saw Draisaitl do Draisaitl things last night, basically put the team on his back like he did the year he won the Hart Trophy without McDavid. But can it come internally, or do they need to make moves?
Well, it might start if Hyman gets one goal.
Yeah, he got one last night.
Oh, he got one, did he?
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Yeah, he's on.
So, you know, they need his 57 more. look, I, I, you know, is it a hangover? Yeah, it's a bit of a hangover. The McDavid injury is tough. Like, I'm telling you, if that's a high ankle, and I don't have to tell you guys about high ankle sprains, they can ruin a guy's season. If, in fact, that is a high ankle, I hear it's 2 to 3 weeks. I remember in Nash in training camp, he had the high ankle sprain. It ruined our season, guys. It ruined our season. That wasn't what ruined my career, but it certainly didn't help it. But you know what? It's a tough injury, so it's going to be interesting to see chemistry on a team, and having a good enough back end and the right type of players. You got to check those boxes off. And they rave about the summer they had. I don't like what they did on their back end.
Before we get to Ottawa, just your thoughts about Winnipeg being that team that, no matter what, no one's really going to take them seriously yet. But should we be?
Well, look, Kyle Connor. What about Kyle Connor?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
who would you take, Gensel or Kyle Connor right now?
O'Connor.
Well, you know, as I've told you guys before, Chevy went into that draft desperately wanting Krause. He wanted Krause so bad. He desperately tried to move up to get Krause out of Peterborough. Tried. Couldn't get it done. And at 17 in that draft, he had to settle for Kyle Connor.
17, that's what Timothy Liljegren
did. Okay.
Yeah, he's lucky. So, you know what? I don't know. I don't think they're at the top of their lineup. I love the Lowry line. I love their one. I don't think they're deep enough up front to keep it going the way they're going. Hellebuck is Hellebuck in the regular season. You know, he's going to be an MVP type guy, but he's got to prove it in the playoffs. I thought for sure they were going to beat Colorado last year with the way he had performed in the regular season. And to me, he was out goaltended by Colorado. Whoever played for Colorado, I don't even know who his name was. But I mean, look, I can't take them serious yet. I hope they have a good season. I really like Chevy. I like their group there, but I think they're tough. And I look at Vegas, guys. Kelly McCrimmon takes lots of heat, gets lots of credit. But this guy is a major junior GM who paid his dues for 20-plus years in major junior hockey. And the way he's got it going in Vegas with his plug-and-play style, he brings somebody in, plugs him in the lineup, all of a sudden they get the job done. Eichel goes in there with a reputation – of an ego guy. I'm talking to people in Vegas this week. He goes in, he plants his ego. All of a sudden, he's one of the best leaders on the team, and is this guy playing great hockey? And they're tough. They're tough to play against every shift, that team.
He just grew up, Mac. He just grew up.
He plants his ego. That's interesting. You can do that.
And you know what? Stone there and the group of guys, the Theodores and the guys around there, they're a pretty quality group. And I'll tell you what, you watch this team play, they don't have many off nights. And Kelly deserves credit for it. George, and you know what? I've been a little hard on them at times over, you know, Leonard and a few things. But I'll tell you what, full marks to them. And then I watch Nashville, and I'm thinking, they've lost their identity, the Nashville Predators. They got Marchessault in there now. They got Steven Stamkos in there. And Saros, the goalie, is overpaid. I mean, he's got the heavy contract on his shoulders. And Josi in the back end, there's not much there. O'Reilly's on his last legs at times there. They don't look very good at all to me. So it's funny how things change.
Trots mess with whatever chemistry he had to end last season with.
Well, I look at the group and I can't get excited about them. And the way they're playing, they're up, down, in, around. But I just can't get excited about the whole group. That team has had an identity since they came in the league as one of the hardest working teams in the league, even when they were an expansion team. And right now they don't have that same identity. They're missing something there.
Well, it's almost like he realized that this team has not had stars. You know, they were the Tommy Novak and Colton Sissons led, you know, Nashville Predators. They don't blame them for trying to add to it. You're just talking about teams we're believers in. I know we don't have you for much longer. I want to get your thoughts on Ottawa, who's looking pretty good, above 500, 5 wins in their first 10 games for the first time since 2016, I believe. Stützle's running into people. What do you think about this year's Senators? Are we almost playoff ready there?
You know it's really good when Garriock's on and that big head of his is just a chuckle. It's just chuckling nonstop, you know. He can't see his face because his cheeks and his teeth cover his whole face.
I need to know if you're friends with him or if we're just being mean.
Oh, yeah, we're great
friends.
But you know what? I watched their game the other night. I really liked the way they played. I mean, they trounced. Who was it they trounced? St. Louis. I mean, they dominated that game. Stützle. Is that how you pronounce it? Stützle?
Definitely not. No,
that works. It works for you.
With Tkachuk, when he plays with Tkachuk, he's got a chance to be a real player. Giroux drops down to the second line with Batherson and Norris. All of a sudden, it's a real good-looking line, and Giroux looks like he's been reinvigorated. Jensen comes in a deal with Washington and changes Shabbat. Shabbat actually looks like he cares a little bit about defense and about playing in his own end, and Jensen has got to be part of that. And Ullmark, you know, Forsberg gave them a great stretch there, a few good games. Ullmark, even against St. Louis, where they dominated St. Louis, Ullmark made 4 or 5 big saves before that game got out of hand. So, you know, they've improved their team. And I'll tell you what, Columbus looked good. Ottawa looked good. Lindy's got Buffalo playing a little better. Detroit, not so good. It's going to be a dogfight to make the playoffs. It's going to be a dogfight.
Okay, if we're going to do the cross-country thing, you got to get a thought in on Montreal. And I give the Montreal Canadiens fans so much credit because it's been one bitter pill that you are the most successful hockey franchise in history to watch over the last few years, take a back seat, wait for young players, prospects come through, and yet
I heard that before.
And now you might have to wait a little longer.
It doesn't matter if you win the Hockey News Prospect Edition. It doesn't matter if you win that.
Did you win it, Doug?
Oh yeah, we were in the top 3 5 years in a row. I mean, look it up. But one tip, and I happen to like Marty St. Louis, and I know he was a superstar in the game and came from Vermont and, you know, all the whole. What is he doing running up and down the stairs?
Doing an interview with McKenzie. Don't go there.
What does he do during his team's morning, during the skate? What is he? Where does that come from?
I've never spoken to him about this. I don't know. Like, you're on your own with this one. I did this yesterday or the day before.
Oh, you did?
I did. Oh. I did.
I guess if I'm going to be a regular, I guess I have to get more scoops on
attention.
What you talk about.
Pay attention.
Did you have the same take on it that I did?
I didn't like it. Yeah.
See, we used to go into Detroit, and Jock Demers was coaching Detroit. I was with St. Louis. We'd go into Detroit, and Jock could hardly skate. He really struggled on the skates when he was on the ice. He didn't move around very much. And we'd go in, and he'd be doing boardies, going side to side, trying to get in shape, skating side to side, doing, you know, you go boards to board.
Yes.
Jock was doing that with his coaches, and I'm thinking, do the players see that he can't even really skate, and he has to use a snowplow to stop? Don't show those things to the players, you know? Anyway, what was it thinking about?
Okay, forget about the stairs. Just in terms of
I can't think about it.
Marty St. Louis is going through right now, and the fact that looking back in hindsight, is it too big of an ask to ask a guy who is coaching his kids to step in? And, you know, like, even though you're Marty St. Louis, one of the best players in modern history, was it too big of an ask by the Montreal Canadiens for this guy to come in?
You know what? I was surprised, and look, I happen to like Marty, and I admire his career as a player. I really do. But this is the Montreal Canadiens, and this is a major rebuild that he walked into. This is a tough job. This is not an easy job in one of the toughest markets in the NHL, and he's asked to do that with a rookie GM. And a rookie head coach. and a team full of youngsters that have, they've got a great depth chart. There again, they're going to be at the top of the hockey news list for the next 2 or 3 years too, but they got to win some games and they're getting throttled. I mean, what was it? 8-1 the other night at home.
Close enough.
It's a tough spot, right? Cause like who would coach this team to a higher level of success? Maybe a few more goals. I don't know, like who would do better with it. But if you're Marty St. Louis and you're offered the job, you have to say yes because it's the Montreal Canadiens. And how often does that come up? It's a tough spot.
I'm not blaming Marty for taking the job.
Right.
It's the NHL, and there's not many offers floating out there. But a rookie GM brings in a rookie head coach, and Gorton's there, who's an experienced senior vice president, whatever that means, and. I mean, all of a sudden, that's a lot to ask for Marty. And They've got some good young players. I get that. But time may run out. Marty may not get the time to get this job done if it doesn't turn around a little bit.
Okay, last one for me, and then we got to let you go. This afternoon, Florida beats Dallas 6-4 on the backs of Markov and Sam Reinhardt. But is there a chance that... Over in Finland, we are looking at a potential Stanley Cup final.
I think you're pretty close. I mean, Dallas are a real good team. You love their back end. You love their goaltending. You love their character up front, skill up front. But I'm caught off guard how hard Florida's played, guys. They look good again. And when you have a Tkachuk. If you have Tkachuk, the way this guy competes, no wonder the guys play hard around him. I'm telling you, I watched him the other night run over a goaltender, come around, they score the goal. I mean, this guy will do anything to win. And one of the problems with the other Tkachuk in Ottawa is he celebrated the Stanley Cup win maybe too much this summer. He should have maybe backed off the celebrating and – spend a little more time because he's going to get his chance, but he probably burned himself out a little bit celebrating with his brother. I know I would have.
Right?
Oh, gosh. Okay. One more. Are you as happy as our Sammy McKee that the Boston Bruins stink?
Well, I was happy today when I saw Gerard Gallant's name maybe in the running for the coaching job. So,
I mentioned, I did an article yesterday for the Toronto Star. I mentioned Joel Quenneville's name. It will surface. There's no question in my mind. It's just a matter of what team would potentially look at him fastest. And right now, I don't know if there's another team besides the Boston Bruins.
I'd love to go into the owner's meeting with the owner, Jeremy Jacobs, and tell him we'd like to stroke a check for Joel for $6 million. I'd like to be in that meeting.
I don't think Joel's in a position to ask for $6 million.
Yeah, I hope not. You know what? I don't want to see, you know, Montgomery. It's a tough start, but I'll tell you what, boys. They are not a very good team. I know the Swayman thing affected them, but you look – if they don't have Pastrnak in their lineup, they don't even come close on any given night. Pastrnak is the one thing that's holding that group together. And they're simply not that good right now.
Mac, great start.
Good stuff, to Mac.
To our season. Welcome back.
What's up? The pocket coffee, really. I didn't use it today, but I'm going to save it. You know,
is this because we don't pay him enough? He's got to do in-hit commercials.
What do you mean enough? Not enough. All right. Off there.
Listen, you and Jill have fun at bingo tonight, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pocket coffees will get you through.
Hey, draft day. I know people are going to see this. It's out in. It's coming out. In paperback. I just want you to know that.
Listen, I'm so happy you told me.
It's out in paperback.
You wrote a book?
Me and Mike Keenan and Brian Burke.
Nice. All right.
None of us have a job. Oh, I forgot. Burkey works for the PWHL. I forgot.
Yes.
No, he's with the Players Association. That's right. All right.
Good job today.
Thanks for having me, guys. All right. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Go away. Doug McClain, everybody.
Oh, my God. That was awesome. We're back.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Break, maybe? I don't know.
Bruins. They got worked.
Can I read you the top three scores for the Bruins? Pastrnak, 10 points in 11 games. Second, Mark Kastelic, 7 points in 11 games. Third, Cole Koepke with 7 points in 11 games.
Eesh.
1, 2, 3.
Where's Charlie Coyle on that list?
Well, it's not good.
Coyle is, 11 games. He has 1 goal, no assists, minus 9.
Minus 9.
Worst on the team, tied with Trent Frederick. I will say that Cole Koepke's plus 10.
Good for him.
I've never seen them look slower. Mm-hmm. And the Zadorov that we saw in Vancouver is nowhere to be found in Boston.
Yeesh,
he's falling. I don't recognize him.
I thought he was going to be, you know.
I know.
In Toronto at
we
some
all
point.
We all talked about him being on the Leafs.
Yeah.
Game time?
Game time.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's been 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I was just looking at the futures because we haven't done this in a while.
That's the worst anyone's ever spelled favorites.
What did I did it wrong?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God. I butchered it.
That's a mess.
I butchered it, boys. I just looked at it here on my computer. It's not good. It's not good. What is that? Anyway.
Where's it?
Oh, you guys don't want it. Listen.
F-A-V-O-R-I-T-R.
Listen, I know how to spell favorites. I just obviously made a little bit of a boo-boo there. Okay? Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Anyways, the favorites. Who do you think the favorite is to win the cup right
favorite now? Favorite trees.
The favorite trees. Who do you think the favorite tree is to win the cup right now?
You know what?
According to Bet365.
I'd say Dallas.
Correct.
Wow.
9-1.
Not Florida?
Nope. You know who is second?
Edmonton.
Yes.
Oh,
actually, I lied. No, I'm looking at this wrong. Edmonton is 8-1. The Stars are 9-1. So Edmonton is still the favorite.
Whoa.
They're not letting you get any
I don't often say this on the show. Do not place that bet.
They're not letting you get any value.
Even if you like them, there's no value there.
They're not letting you get that value. The Panthers are 9-1. The Devils are 12-1. And yeah, that's where you go down.
The Devils are getting faster.
And they just got back Pesci on the back end. Yeah. And someone else pretty decent too. A couple of D-men came back.
And I wanted to get the playoff, the list of the playoff odds, but my phone is malfunctioning. So that was game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play.
The only time we've done a game time to tell people not to bet on the Oilers and then just moved on.
But sorry, it's not happening.
But 365's on the phone right now saying we want our money back off that segment.
Give us a make
good. That was a really sucky segment by Sammy. He can't even get the right chart up.
I've been doing this every day for 2 years.
Nailing it.
Yeah. And then it's like, listen, you guys are like, I'm like Willie with Berube. I go out there, I shoot three in the net, and you guys are like, you can't spell. You suck at this. You guys are idiots.
Buddy, you just said you like coaching.
Maybe I don't.
All right, let's take a break. We need one really bad right now.
We do.
When we return, we'll get into some news and notes and your text messages.
Get them in now. Now.
Get them in, and we'll talk about Torts in Philadelphia. He's got a new whipping boy.
He does.
We'll tell you who it is after the break. Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final block on the Real Kipper and Bourne shows. We conclude this week. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365 as we get into a few news and notes around the National Hockey League, including the Philadelphia Flyers, who found their superstar phenom and the hottest thing since Eric Lindros, or so I read somewhere. And now
did you?
He's benched Mishkov.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting clip from Tortorella and something that I have been thinking about quite a bit. So why don't we go ahead?
It's a Sheldon Keefe-esque clip. It's a minute long. So
yeah.
It's not Berube, so it's a little longer. So we'll listen to the clip. Then we
on the decision to bench Michkov.
He's a 19-year-old kid playing in the best league in the world. And I think he's beginning to see what the National Hockey League is as far as the speed, as far as time and space, all the things that come with it. There are going to be some major struggles with him 5-on-5. We expect that. Where I'm going to have to teach, and in that teaching moment, I'm not going to tell you what it's all about, but if we keep on seeing the same mistake, and he just totally is not concentrating on a certain part of the game, that's when, and I've been very honest with him about that. He's going to miss some ice. He's going to watch the game. It's not me screaming at him. It's telling him this is how it works. And if I think other guys are going and you're struggling in certain situations and it's repetitive, you're going to have to sit and watch for a little bit. And that's all that was. He's had some struggles. He doesn't play 4 games and 6 nights over there. He doesn't play against competition like he plays here. So there are going to be some major struggles within his 5-on-5 game.
This comes on the same day, I think, he was named Rookie of the Month for the NHL. So interesting, right? Getting his points, but his coach has other thoughts.
Yeah, it's so predictable, to be honest with you.
It's a dumb league.
You know, it's just, like I mentioned just prior to that clip, is that I don't know where I read it, to be honest with you. But it was like this guy's come in and like rejuvenated the whole organization, and some writers never seen it since Eric Lindros, and I'm like, not even close, first of all.
No.
But if this guy in the first month kind of got a little full of himself, reading, you know, how great he is and how he may save this organization, and he's leading the team in scoring after, you know, or at the top with, you know, their big boys, and he's playing first power play, and he's playing 18 and a half, 19 minutes. It's the Connor Bedard thing that I went back to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and now all of a sudden he thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he's starting to do things 5-on-5 that Torts doesn't like, and it's like, sit your ass down. It's like, well, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No kidding.
Yeah, I wrote an article that I'll put it out on Monday, just called The NHL is a Developmental League at this point, where a third of the league probably is not really trying to win the cup. There's so many players now, 32 teams, that I think where teams used to keep guys in the American League or somewhere else before, you know, the Red Wings used to say they'd let guys get overripe before they'd bring them up.
Not anymore. You can't afford it.
Can't afford it. There's the salary cap issues where you have to have some cheap guys. There's too many players in the league.
And you got to sell tickets.
For sure. There's 707 players started this year on NHL rosters, and over 1,000 will play in the league. So some guys are not ready for the league yet, but you have to have guys on your team. And maybe Michkov's not the perfect example of this, but guys now learn in the NHL rather than come to the NHL when they're ready. There are guys who have to develop while playing in the league. Coaches like Tortorella do that coaching and do it with their whole chest. Not everyone is as willing to be hard on guys like that, but I think it's good for a guy like Michkov.
Ultimately, you hope it will be. Sometimes, guys, it takes long to get it, and mm-hmm. sometimes they don't get it at all. But I think
it's
going to be a totally maturity thing, right? What do they say about that cranial thing in the front there that doesn't get developed to like 24, 25? You ever heard of that?
They're still baking.
I know what you're talking about. Couldn't tell you what it's called.
This is not the show that's going to do the science on that, but.
No, it's not. But something.
Look how he spelled
your frontal lobe. Things are not fully formed.
There's something upstairs that doesn't kind of hit its peak till your mid-20s, and you just hope that he'll figure it out. But sometimes we're just, you know, we do this to ourselves. And Philly's desperate, guys. Yeah. That used to be a powerhouse franchise for the National Hockey League. And, you know, we've had guests on before, right, Bundy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Therrien?
Yep.
Like, we need the Flyers back.
Yeah.
And this guy's a big step to getting there, but you can't ask him to do it overnight, playing 19 minutes.
No, it's hard. Couturier, 6 points in 11 games. You know, Konechny's leading the team, but beyond that, real thin, man. It's they need some bodies.
All right, Tex?
Tex.
Pretty simple one here. Will the Boston Bruins make the playoffs?
They're currently 4-6, 4-6-1, and last in the Atlantic Division. 4-6-1 is not insurmountable, but the Atlantic's very good. Like, it's hard to see them getting first, second, or third from Florida, Tampa Bay, and Toronto at this point. Is it not?
I would have said yes before the Carolina loss last night. That one spooked me a little bit on Halloween that they could lose that badly. And are
Swayman's an 890 save percentage? Are they really as slow as they looked
last night?
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that it's becoming clear that they don't have that sort of next layer of offense that, you know, Marchand, if him slowing down really leaves it all on Pasternak's shoulders. They're dead last in goals for in the Atlantic at this point, which is, you know, not the team they've been. So I don't know where the goals are going to come from. They defend well, and Swayman can be better, but still got to score.
I tell you what, the Ottawa Senators will have a big say on the Boston Bruins making the playoffs.
Bruins are a minus 13 goal differential. Sens are plus 7. So 20 goals better than Boston.
Yeah, if Ottawa can kind of keep it close and those young legs find another gear, that could be trouble for Boston coming out of the Atlantic.
Running into people, I'm going to do a little of that on the television later tonight. Stutzla's had a better year, more well-rounded. Coach is happy with his two-way play a little bit more. That's a big step for them if he becomes like an all-around guy.
Yeah, making better decisions.
Yeah. Most unexpected start from Aman in Victoria.
Washington Capitals.
That's what his answer was. He said Caps, question mark.
We're just talking team?
Yeah.
Wild are also 6-1-2.
Yeah.
Boston might be up there. Nashville?
Preds for me.
Can we give Columbus some love at 5-3-1?
Good pick.
Like Dean Evanson?
Yeah.
Evanson?
Doing good things there.
Really good.
I mean, the Jets are 9-1.
Jets are 9-1, but like we thought they'd be what? Like, I don't know.
But they got one of the best goalies in the league and high expectations still. So.
Minnesota start, I still don't believe. 6-1.
How about
Washington?
Instead of team, how about
a bit more?
Like player, unexpected, which means anything.
I mean, Mark Stone tied for the league.
Unexpected.
What I would say is unexpected. He's an awesome player. I love Mark Stone, and I think he'll be featured prominently at the Four Nations Faceoff for Team Canada. I love his game, and yeah, like that's
Stone
a nice
leading the league and Hyman having one goal through 11 games, probably.
You know,
two shockers.
Even Matthews' goal total is surprising at this level.
5 and 11 games. He scores two the next game. He's on pace for usual.
He's more of a either goal a game kind of close or within a reach of it.
Yeah.
So that one kind of surprises me a little bit. I'll tell you.
2 years ago, he scored 40 in 80 games, you know.
But the other one that surprised me too, Connor Bedard with 3 goals.
Yeah. Here we go.
That's a good one.
We're not here we go. What do you mean here we go?
If you played a little more, maybe you had longer shifts, you might score some more.
20 minutes a night, buddy, is plenty.
Cole Caulfield's got 10 goals in 11 games.
That one's unexpected.
Kyle Connor, I don't know where his totals are at here. I can find that, but he's lighting it up.
Okay, lots of answers there.
Yeah.
AJ here from Waterdown.
Hi, AJ.
Who's the best player on each of the Four Nations teams competing in the Four Nations Cup?
Finland is it any different than McDavid, Matthews?
Who's the best player for Finland? I mean, for Finland and Sweden. Is William Nylander the best forward for Sweden? I can give you a list of guys.
Sure, let's do that. Give some options here.
Adrian Kempe, Elias Lindholm, Pettersson, Forsberg, Nyquist, Jesper Bratt.
Forsberg is closest to Willie, right? But probably Willie.
Leo Carlson, Raymond.
98 points. But
I'm watching Kempe the other night.
Guy fires it.
Oh, my God.
He's underrated.
So underrated.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a really good player. Mika Zibanejad, Backlund.
What did Kempe have for points last year?
I'm not sure. I don't think he had as many as William Nylander.
Yeah, it's 75 points.
So Finland, it's Barkov, right?
Oh, yeah, it's Barkov.
Yeah.
Can we give Kucherov some love still, though, like for the amount of points that he puts up?
You love Kucherov.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Kucherov may be your favorite player.
It's actually really shocking, you know what? His favorite guys compared to what he likes in players.
Kucherov's
so good.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Yeah.
The numbers he puts up are ridiculous still.
Yeah.
And
the play he made the other night, the one that he would Gensel,
like
where he goes all the way down the no look behind the back pass.
I can forgive him for, you know, crapping all over the NHL All-Star Weekend.
Him, Kucherov, more than any other player in the NHL, looks like the kid who's come back from college and plays drop-in with his buddies. Yeah. And he's just messing with them.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, if I feel like going to get it, I'll go get it.
There's just some guys you just look at and go, that guy's a winner. Like when push comes to shove,
because his attitude would be one most associated with like that guy's.
I mean, he's
loser,
won. He's won he's, two. Asterisk cups that he won.
This is just you watch him on the ice, and that guy's got fire in his belly when he.
Which is funny, right? Because
it's
how you interpret body language. Some people call it pouting or not, whatever. Right when he's kind of dragging, but it's because he wants to win and because he's competitive.
It's when the. He hits the highs. They're off the charts highs.
When the chips are down, too, he plays big. Big games, he is so good.
And he's a sore loser, too.
Big like, I do loser. Like that.
I love a sore loser.
All right,
loser.
That's enough. Come on. That's enough.
Are you okay?
That's enough. But
perhaps it's the...
He's my least favorite player in the league. Him and Brendan Hagel are my two least favorite players in the league.
That's a nonsensical thing to say.
By far. No comparison.
Yeah, but that's, hey, like, that's a bitter you're afraid leaf. Of what he'll do to your team. That's like saying
that's a bitter Leaf fan right there.
And he is the guy that I hate the most, no question.
So this is and analysis. Like,
not only is he light up the Leafs.
Yeah.
Excellent player. He's also like the Canada-Russia thing.
This like, sounds like just, a lot of respect to me. Sounds like you respect the hell out of him as a player.
I think he's a very excellent hockey player, but I would never say I respect him. I don't like him.
I think you disrespect him.
He is one of my least favorite players maybe ever. Him and Hagel on that team, I can't stand. Last one. Jason in New Brunswick here. All the Red Wings do is dump and chase. They can never get possession in the offensive end, and it just doesn't work for them, so why do they keep doing it? Boy, the Red Wings, boys, they're in trouble.
It's not a good team.
You could hear, like, Joel Quenneville rumblings in that city, too.
So it sounds like at some point Quenneville's going to have it.
I don't. Listen, I'm just telling you sometimes what you hear.
Red Wings are 4-5-1, minus 7 goal differential, struggling a little bit, to say the least. I don't know who's supposed to do it there. Like Raymond's good, but lots of teams have a good player. I don't know, not a.
Yeah, they got some pressure on them to sign those big contracts and then perform now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the one thing though I can tell you is that Ville Husso was a big miss for Stevie Y.
Huge, huge miss.
And goaltending, right? Who do we have, Rick Bonus, earlier talking about? Come on, it's the goalie. The goalie keeps you in it. Rangers, are they a contender without Shesterkin?
Right.
I don't know.
And speaking of goalies, we have this like 7 different texts about this. Who's starting for Team Canada? Guys, we don't know. Okay? We don't know. So it's the Nick
not
Saban
only do
thing.
We not
so
know.
Quit asking.
There's not even anyone with like a slight lead.
I got no idea.
The gun has been fired at the start of the horse race, and no one has taken a step.
Zero.
Could one of you emerge?
None of them have a save percentage above 9.
None of them.
Sick. Except Cam Talbot.
Who's not going to be the starter?
Ah, God.
Montembeau has just dropped. Off of that,
you
kinda.
Know, Valley talks about the situation you're playing. And like, what chance does he have? He's behind like 5 20-year-old D-man.
No one on the States can shoot it very well anyway, though. They're fine. Be fine.
Matthews going to put it through
Connor,
someone's
Matthews,
neck.
Caulfield, Kachucks.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
Half a dozen games tonight, including one already in the books between the Florida Panthers and the Dallas Stars. That one ended up 6-4. When did they go to Finland? Can someone let me know these things?
I don't know. A lot of Finns scored today.
I'm sure Barkov enjoyed it, the captain of the cup-winning team. Maybe that's why they went.
He probably told them to.
What do they call it? NHL Global Series?
Yeah.
There's another one on the weekend, Sunday, right? See, I'm ahead now.
Maybe.
I know.
Maybe.
Because I'm a host. A professional
Ray
host.
Hosted that.
Our thanks to Luke Fox and Doug McClain for Off the Rails Friday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We're back Monday.